with nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services. Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News here in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, March sales are up thanks to incentives and inventory. UAW membership has dropped to its lowest level since 2009. And Panasonic agrees to supply EV batteries to Mazda. Plus, Nissan America's chairperson, Jeremy Papin, joins the show to talk about the automaker's ambitious growth plans.
The number we've been using both as a target, but the target that's been built solidly, is to be able to cut costs by 30% on that new generation of EVs.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Analysts expect March to be one of the strongest months for auto sales of the last 3 years. They say increased incentives and rising inventories continue to keep consumers active in the market as the spring selling season arrives. Estimates from Cox Automotive, S&P Global Mobility, Edmunds, and Global Data put sales volumes over 1.4 million vehicles in March. That's up 5 to 6% from a year ago, and only the second time since May 2021 that monthly sales have topped that level. Automakers report their monthly and first quarter U.S. sales results next week.
UAW membership fell 3.3% last year to about 370,000. That's the union's lowest mark since 2009. The numbers are from the UAW's annual financial report, which was filed with the Department of Labor. The decline in membership erases gains made in 2022, and it comes despite promises by second-year UAW President Sean Fain to continue growing the union's ranks through an ambitious organizing drive of transplant automakers. Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga are scheduled to vote next month on whether to form a UAW local. In a statement, the UAW said, quote, "It's important to understand these documents are a snapshot of our membership count on December 31st, 2023. The reality is the numbers fluctuate." The union's net assets grew to $1.1 billion last year, despite paying out $152 million in strike benefits.
Mazda and Panasonic's energy unit say they've signed an automotive battery supply deal. Panasonic Energy says the partnership is for cylindrical automotive lithium-ion batteries. In another major announcement, parent company Panasonic Holdings said it will sell its entire stake in Panasonic Automotive Systems, the world's 19th largest auto supplier, to funds managed by U.S. private equity firm Apollo Global Management. The automotive business made up around 15% of Panasonic's sales for the previous fiscal year that ended in March 2023. The unit mainly focuses on infotainment systems. Apollo says the transaction has a total enterprise value of about $2 billion.
The auto industry has surpassed the consumer electronics and industrial sectors to become the third largest end user of semiconductors worldwide. And demand for automotive-grade microchips just keeps growing. Automakers and suppliers accounted for 17% of the global microchip purchases in 2023. Up 3 percentage points from a year earlier. Those numbers are from the 2023 Semiconductor End Use Survey by World Semiconductor Trade Statistics. While the communications and computer sectors continue to make up the majority of chip manufacturer revenue, the growth in auto industry demand will be welcome news for producers looking for new business in coming years.
And Ford CEO Jim Farley's total compensation jumped 26% last year to more than $26 million. That's despite falling short of his potential bonus target. Farley's base salary remained unchanged at $1.7 million, while his non-equity incentives fell slightly as he hit 71% of his annual bonus plan award target. The automaker did not break down specifically where Farley fell short, although it said that 40% of this year's bonus criteria was tied to adjusted earnings before interest and taxes, 30% was tied to quality, 20% was tied to electric vehicle growth, and 10% to value-added services. And those are today's headlines.
Jamie, I'm curious on why UAW membership fell last year. Their net assets grew to $1.1 billion last year, and they won historic contracts. Why the drop?
I don't think it was automotive related. You know, they had a pretty good year. We have seen some adjustments in the workforce, but not much on the labor side, especially on the organized labor side. But the UAW is involved in a lot of other things, you know, hospitality workers, university teaching assistants, things like that. Those might be areas where they've seen some losses. We know there have been a lot of job losses in hospitality over the recent years, kind of just really getting back to full employment now. So that might be the areas. Of course, this vote at VW in Chattanooga, that's a really big one for them, could really improve their numbers, but also improve the momentum and the image of the union throughout the country.
Gotcha. Coming up, Nissan America's chairperson, Jeremy Pappin, joins the show. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand-in-hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per-vehicle revenue. Because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. Nissan has a bold plan to boost global sales by 1 million vehicles over the next 3 years. The struggling Japanese automaker says it will launch 30 new models over that period, including 16 electrified vehicles. It will also make big investments in battery technology, manufacturing improvements, and customer experience. Jeremy Pappin is chairperson of Nissan Americas. We talked about the midterm plan this week at the New York Auto Show.
Jeremy Pappin, welcome back to Daily Drive.
Thank you, Jamie.
I say back, we talked on stage. Yes. And used that for Daily Drive. I think that counts. Our audience is familiar with you. So I want to ask, the ARC plan calls for U.S. sales to grow by about 165,000. Does that feel like a conservative target, or how do you see that number?
I think it's a reasonable target to have for a company that is going to launch so many new models into the market, bringing an hybrid and a PHEV to the market as well, rejuvenating some of the products that are the oldest that we have in the lineup today, with great new designs, a lot of technology. If you just think about this auto show with the new Kicks and the QX80, that should bring a lot of momentum into the two brands over the summertime. So I think it's a reasonable target.
It seems like maybe in the past, there would have been more emphasis on growth. It might have been a bigger target for growth, but one that would have some risk to it. Maybe this is more designed around having the right margin and, you know, the right ambitions.
Yeah, I'll let you appreciate how you qualify it. But I would say we're going to earn our growth. Mm-hmm. We're not going to buy it. You know, we're going to be very consistent at building the brand. It's going to be product driven. It's going to be pulled by the consumer. We're very centered on the consumer experience. We think there is upside to the brand in terms of loyalty, and those can help selling dozens of thousands of more cars a year compared to what the best in the industry are doing. So again, it's a combination of new products, how we sell, the consistency of how we sell, the fact that we have so many more customers at our NMAC financial services division, that creates an uplift in loyalty as well, that ultimately you know, it kind of self feeds itself. That's why I think that it's a reasonable, you know, hopefully we want to hit that number.
Yeah. Back, get back above a million, well above a million, and go from there.
Exactly.
You mentioned the customer experience, and I know there's a $200 million investment in integrated customer experience and enhanced customer loyalty programs. What might that look like? What would that entail?
I think what we want is each Nissan customer to feel as if he or she are an individual who we fully recognize. We are very integrated with the work the dealer does, and how we go to reaching out to that customer is very coordinated between our dealers, the Nissan side of the business, the NMAX side of the business, our servicing side. And so that focus built around the technology that we'll be introducing, that's something that should drive an experience that is going to move from being transactional a lot today to being a full experience within an ecosystem where satisfaction is high enough that you don't feel the need to change ecosystems and you just stay in the Nissan family.
Does AI have a role in that? Is that part of helping keep the person in the system and working well?
AI has roles in, you know, just picking up on any information that is coming from the customer base faster in terms of allowing us as a company to react to whatever the consumer seems to be indicating they may want. So, yeah, some of it will be AI powered. A lot of it is just going to be a lot of collaboration and much more integrated systems between our dealers and ourselves.
Yeah. Shifting to some of the manufacturing matters, Global Production Chief Sakamoto said that factories would be right-sized when they upgrade for the intelligent factory technology. Canton, Deckard, and Smyrna are all in line for these upgrades. What will capacity be like at the end of the decade compared with now?
I don't see any change in the capacity in North America over the next few years. We've announced investments in EV production in Canton, and we now know that we will be offering much more than just the first two sedans that we had mentioned. We also know that we've discussed the fact Smyrna is going to get electrification in due course when you know, the renewal of those products are ready. So, but it will not be a smaller footprint for the North American business.
It's a pretty much the right size now. It's just a matter of having all the best tools and making the right products.
Yeah, it's about it's the right size, and it's about I think producing faster for North America through automation, through fewer parts to assemble, through ergonomics in the plants that make life at work and producing a car faster and more comfortable. And so that's what's driving. And then a new way of approaching families of vehicles on a platform that drive economies of scale within a platform to levels that we had not achieved before. And so all of this, the number we've been using both as a target, but the target that's been built solidly is to be able to cut costs by 30% on that new generation of EVs.
That would make a huge difference.
Yes.
It's a very big target.
Yes. But again, it's not one that is just a target. Mm-hmm. It's a very well-built target.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing that. Does the MTP accelerate the product changes at Canton? Does it mean maybe getting those, the previously announced vehicles sooner, or does that part stay the same and then it just builds from there?
No, I think there's no acceleration for the Canton plant. There is a wider number of projects that will go into Canton. There may be changes in the sequencing of those projects, but no, and we're also adjusting to the pace at which the consumer itself is moving, and we want to introduce the breakthroughs in terms of cost competitiveness into that platform as well. So we'll have those cars in Canton, you know, at the very end, I would say, of the midterm plan.
Okay. Do you feel like with that plan, will you be, you know, making EVs, you feel competitively enough? I mean, you'll get all the benefits of the cost reduction, and will they comply with the IRA? and all that with all the new chemistries you're bringing out?
Fully compliant with the IRA, fully advantageous to the consumer, packed with technology, designs that should be hugely attractive. I think this is something consumers should expect from Nissan, and we feel very comfortable we can deliver. And, you know, charging networks that will have developed around the country, people yeah. much more comfortable with charging at home, which is what most of the Americans do. So, yeah, definitely confident about the fact the our growth in EVs will come. We think we'll sell more than 40% EVs by 2030 and way more when we think about electrified powertrains. And yeah, Canton will fully contribute to that.
What about Mexico? It's long been an important manufacturing source. Do you see making EVs in Mexico?
For the moment, we haven't announced any plans. I think naturally, as the market evolves, you know, all powertrains will move there. But today, you know, we're very happy to launch a Kicks that is going to come from Mexico with super high levels of quality built into the cars. Super efficient manufacturing operations. And so, yeah, the footprint we have in Mexico that feeds our US and Canada business, as well as our very strong Mexican business, is a huge asset that we have and really no one else has.
How does the midterm plan make Nissan's internal combustion vehicles more competitive? The Altima, the Rogue, Pathfinder, stuff like that.
What's changed at Nissan is, you know, life cycle management, being strict on the number of years the cars stay on the road before being refreshed and so on. That's been, I would say, reset, and we're being very consistent with that. And as part of that, we'll clearly have ICE products that continue to be launched. I think within the next 3 years, nearly 80% of our ICE offering is going to get renewed as part of this midterm plan. And so that's a significant, you know, part of the lineup. If in parallel you add, oh, they're having an hybrid, oh, they're having a PHEV, oh, there's more EVs coming in. And I think that's what we owe the customer, is we're not here to choose the powertrain he or she are going to use and fits their needs. It's really, we will have what the customer needs in our showrooms.
Is there a role for the e-Power, the series hybrid as well, as regular hybrid and plug-in hybrid?
There definitely will be a role. You know, we're working on having the best package in terms of efficiency, performance, and competitiveness for the customer. And so we are working on a Generation 3 e-Power, and that will come to the USA.
Jeremy Pepin, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about Nissan's new midterm plan.
Thank you, Jamie.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News coordinating producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Larry Valquette, Michael Martinez, and John Irwin for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on Nissan's ambitious midterm plan, sales results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back over the weekend for our Weekend Drive edition of the show. Our own Carly Schaffner joins us to talk about the highlights from this year's New York Auto Show.
It was definitely a whirlwind. Hyundai took center stage, and not just Hyundai, but Genesis. They had a lot to show us.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.